Yes, welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Matt Rennie was in the saddle last week, did an excellent job hosting the show in my absence, but I am back for this week. And what's an excellent week of action, Doncaster and action over in Ireland for Irish Champions Weekend. Really looking forward to the action there. And I've got a great panel to preview what's happening on ITV this Saturday. I have Mr. Harry Wilson and Jimmy Hill from the Racing Post. And from Unibet, as always, we have Mr. Ed Nicholson. Ed, I suppose quickly, as a Unibet man, we should mention last weekend, as much as we love to talk about a certain horse. Constitution Hill, you spent the day with all the connections last Saturday. Give us more on kind of what was said after the race rather than what was said before.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone wanted to find out how good he was with not much left of his career to go. And I think I think everyone was satisfied. They obviously would like to have come in the first three to open up a few more opportunities. So that was disappointing. It probably panned out the best and the worst it could. He came fourth. He's been put up to 108. So that rules out any 105 handicaps and just makes him shy of Group 3 class. So there aren't that many opportunities. I saw a good piece in the Post by Keith Melrose, who identified the races open to him off that kind of situation. Isn't that much? They were contemplating going abroad. They do want to do that. And Germany was spoken about. And although there was mention of bleeding, I must emphasise it was 0.5 out of 5 on the scale, which apparently, according to experts, not me, is not significant. And Nicky's vet had already scoped and he'd already mentioned it. So I think a lot of people are getting overexcited by the trace of blood. Apparently, a lot of horses have it after they exert themselves to that level, that small level. But that might scupper some ideas to go elsewhere as well. So, yeah, I think they're going to go back to the and look what they've got open. I think it probably will be abroad. It will be a Group 3 race abroad, I think. Although there is a couple of interesting options over in the UK coming up. But it was an exciting day. I think Michael Buckley really enjoyed it. I think Nicky. One thing that kind of hits home with me is Billy Loughnane saying that he thinks he needs further. Every other jockey said that he thinks he needs 12 furlongs, 14 furlongs. It might be that he gave him that field because he blew up. They thought they got him fit, but he looked like he maybe, the way he went through the race, that he needed the run, maybe. But still, great horse. Only third run on flat, rating of 108 as a 9-year-old. I mean, that's truly amazing. So many negatives in the social media. I think it was a great performance.
I completely agree. I mean, plenty of people on social media say we talk about this horse too much, but we should celebrate the fact that there's a horse here who's pulling on a decent amount of people to the track. He's done it every time he's been there. Everyone's willing to go and see him. So it's never a negative when you see that. So we'll hear about Constitution Hill more in the future, but we've got a great weekend of action, as I say, coming up here. And we're going to start off at Doncaster, where we start off with a 2-year-old contest, the Champagne Stakes, a Group 2 over 7 furlongs at 145 here at Doncaster. And Unibet currently have Desert Castle. He said one run, one win, and has looked very, very good. Really short in the betting for the 2,000 guineas. Currently, he's the even money shot. Gentle Hurricane is 9-2. Sergei Dikaev is 6-1. Breacher, here we go again, 13-2. Rosberg's 13-2. And Silver Dominion is 18-1. Harry, I'm going to come to you first on this because I've mentioned Breacher's name there. I remember the postcast we were last on, and there was plenty of us wanting to see Breacher go and win the ground, obviously turned that day. Do we still think he's as good as Muir says he is?
Yeah, you can never discount a horse based on one run, but I was a bit disappointed that he didn't win the Solario. Like that. Alfred Wallace, yeah, he set a decent standard, but you'd want a horse with that sort of potential that Breacher has to go and beat a horse who's already proven that he's not quite good enough. So for me, it was a little bit disappointing. And I will probably side with potential again over proven form in this race. And I think the market is telling you everything you need to know about Desert Castle. He used class when he won on his debut. The time was decent, wasn't anything special, but it was decent. And Billy Lochner coming off and saying that he just idled his way in front and still won by 3.5 lengths suggests that he's got loads more to come. And I can see Desert Castle winning this and confirming himself as a Guineas prospect.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Currently a 14-1 joint favourite of Monogram Antipost for the 2000 Guineas with Unibet. Jimmy Hill, what did you make of this year's Champagne Stakes?
Yeah, I just like to go with proven performers in these juvenile races, Sam. So I picked between Gentle Hurricane and Sergei Diaghilev. Went for Aidan O'Brien's runner. I wouldn't put anyone off Gentle Hurricane. Finished second in what I thought was a pretty good Acom Stakes at York. That form has since been well advertised. But Aidan O'Brien, he had 5 horses still in this at the 5-day stage, and this is the one he's come down on. He won the race last year, and I think he can do it again. Sergei Diaghilev won nicely at Garin last time, having been probably a bit disappointing at Royal Ascot, but he clocked a good time when he won at Garin. And Hafner, of course, is Aidan O'Brien's horse, beat Gentle Hurricane at York, so he's got a good line of form with that one. Like the breeding of the selection. So the prices, I think he's a bit of value.
Yeah, 6-1 Sergei Diaghilev for the Aidan O'Brien yard there. So taking on the favourite, Ed Nicholson, is Jimmy Hill. Harry Wilson thinks Desert Castle should go and win this. If there were 3 places available in this race, then I would love to have had another go at Breacher each way, but is what it is. What did you make of this?
Yeah, it's difficult to know what to make of Desert Castle in terms of what he's shown on the track. Obviously, the vibes are there. The market's there for next year's Classic. So he's obviously well thought of. But he hasn't had an opportunity to, but hasn't done it yet on the track. I'm same as Jimmy. I kind of like to go with either my eye or the form. And I mean, Breacher was the eye selection last time. And like Harry, I was a little disappointed. Plenty has been spoken about it. Plenty has been said that things didn't go his way. And he certainly is a horse worth to keep him on side of, I think. But same with Gentle Hurricane. He's my tip in the Acom when he was, I think he was 12-1 at the time, went off 7-2 or something. Obviously, great vibes about him. Had won previously at Salisbury. The stable were bullish. And I thought ran a really good race. I still thought ran really green. I've watched the replay a couple of times. Ashim Murphy looked after him in that race, even though it was a top quality race. He gave him a couple of wakeners, but he looked after him in the closing stages when the winner had flown. I still think he ran green. I still think there's improvement to come. So at around about 5-1, I thought Gentle Hurricane was probably the selection. He is in the Dewhurst, and the stable won this with Chaldean, didn't they? I think so. It's a race they like, and I think a 5-1 Gentle Hurricane is a selection to beat Desert Castle, who hasn't shown the form yet, but all the vibes suggest is a very good horse.
Okay, 3 different selections in the Champagne Stakes. Do let us know down in the comments what you make of this race. Are you with the favourite or are you against him? And as always, if you haven't already, to the YouTube channel, do subscribe down below. It's free to do so. Let's move on to a real belter of a 5.5 furlong handicap here, guys. It's the Portland 220 there at Doncaster. Currently looking at Unibet's market. Get Ready to Rumble is the 11-2 favourite. Twilight Calls 13-2, Apollo 1-7, Eternal Sunshine 15-2, Air Force 1-8, Rosario's 9s, double figures about the rest of the field in here. And I believe, Jimmy, you have quite a confident selection here.
For the Portland, yeah. I mean, not an easy race to work out, Sam. I think last year's race is the key here. I think you had the winner, Eternal Sunshine. She's back again. So is the third, Rosario. But the one who surely catches the eye is the runner-up, Apollo 1. He's £12 lower this time around. He's £11 lower than he was when he finished second in this race by an American Affair 2 years ago. And I think he's had a quiet time of it this year, but I think they've targeted the autumn for this horse. And the reason being is this is when he comes alive. If you look at his career, as many as 6 of his 7 best RPR runs have been between September and November. He always seems to run well in these kind of soft ground, big handicap races. As I mentioned, he's been second in this race for the last 2 years. And he showed signs he was coming to form when he finished fourth at York Seabourn meeting last month. Slight concern about the draw. That would be my only negative. It seems to be that most of the recent winners have been berthed in the centre. So as an alternative, maybe Toca Madeira would be interesting if the rain didn't arrive. But I do think Apollo 1 is going to run really well here. As I said, he's shown signs of a return to form. He's well handicapped. He's usually been a very, very consistent sprinter. And I'd be disappointed if he finished out of the frame, even though it's the Portland, Sam.
It is the Portland, yeah. It's not going to be easy, but Unibet have made it slightly easier. Five places on offer with Unibet. I'm sure Ed will talk about extra places in just a second. Harry Wilson, we should definitely talk about the favourite in this race. So it's your turn to go here. Let's get ready, ready. Let's get ready, ready. Let's get ready to...
Rumble.
Oh, yes, Harry. There we go. Go on, Harry.
Not
tell us
that
about
that. Was banged or anything. I think people... I can't remember, I've lost count of the amount of times that I've tipped up Get Ready to Rumble this year. But if you actually look back, like, I know people will say, oh, you're just making excuses, but this is probably the unluckiest horse this season. He's wrong side, and he got denied a clear run in his return. That was behind Mission Essential, went and won a group one. He was joining stall one next time, stall one at Ascot, and he reared up. It's poorly placed at Sandown in a race that favoured those on the pace. Finally got his drop back into handicap company, and I think he should have won at Ascot. I think 5.5 furlongs should suit him perfectly. I'm a bit worried about the draw, as Jimmy said. But I think Apollo 1's drawn in 5. I think my one's drawn in 20. So I've ended up on a flank, but... He's won at Doncaster before. I think everything is in his favour. I will say that I backed 3 horses anti-post for this race. And as Jimmy said, last year's race is very interesting. But I actually backed Eternal Sunshine and Rosario, who finished first and third in last year's race. I think it's just really interesting that they needed to win last time to get in. And they did. So they're clearly arriving in good form. This has obviously been the plan, and I think there's no reason why they wouldn't run well again.
Yeah, and the Shannon Yard absolutely love having winners at Doncaster. Ed, you know it's a good weekend coming up when you get Harry Wilson finishing song lyrics for you. Who did you like in the Portland?
Well, it would have been terrible if he hadn't cottoned on, wouldn't it? You'd have looked a right muppet. So I'm glad he did. I this is an extra place, as you would expect. It is one of my favourite handicaps, obviously over 5.5, famously over 5.5. The horse I'm going to go for has been mentioned already, and it's Eternal Sunshine. Won this race last year, won 3 times over 5, 6 times over 6, is it? Something like that. We know that the 5.5 will suit. We know the course suits. She's up £4 from winning it last year. I completely understand, Jimmy, that's a, you know, sensible solution when you're having a look at Apollo 1 and the weight turnaround, and the fact Apollo 1 has just shown some form. It's a really good good analysis there. But she's totally wrong at the weight of Apollo 1. Can't beat Apollo 1 on last year's form on the weights. But I agree with Harry. She's definitely been aimed at this race and next week's Air Gold Cup. She's entered in both. She's got such a great record at Air. You can imagine them getting ready for these 2 weeks. This is her couple of weeks celebration, isn't it? Wily old Jim Goldie's got her ready for the next 2 weeks. Her record at Air is phenomenal. I think 9 runs, 3 wins, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. But she's done well at Doncaster as well. She's a win and a second from 2. And I think with Lauren Young still claiming 5, she claimed 7 last year when she won. I think this has got a great chance. Draw 19, again, similar to Harry, you just don't know, do you? But that will be my selection in what could be an interesting race. One thing I would say, we quite correctly discussed the ground last week and how it is going to be changing at Haydock on the Thursday we record this. Same with this Thursday. Doncaster, at the moment, it's good to soft. There's showers today, not much tomorrow, I don't think, and then lots of rain on Saturday. So I was looking for good to soft horses, but this mare has won on good ground as well. So she ticks the box, a bit like the win of the Spring Cup last week, who'd won on good to firm all the way to soft. You knew that the ground wouldn't be a concern. It's the same with Eternal Sunshine. I think she'll win on good ground or soft ground.
Okay, yeah, Eternal Sunshine. Fred Nicholson, and like Ed's mentioned, there are extra places on offer. Do head to the Unibet website and app for all the terms and conditions and all the offers for the weekend there. I'm going to be with Let's Get Ready to Rumble as well. One reason, Harry's made a great case to us. Another one, it was number one the week that I was born. So there you go. It's probably not the best number one to have. Yeah, shows my age, Ed. That's made you feel a bit older, isn't it?
It has. But my one's Hey Jude.
Oh, so, yeah, so that's a bit better than that. Yeah, so they, it's worth looking that up if you've never done that before. Right, let's move on then to the next race, which is a Group 2. It's the Park Stakes over 7 furlongs, a 2.55 at Doncaster. And Syed Suhail has currently got the top two in the betting with Unibet. More Fun is 11-10. Never So Brave is 11-2. Kirat is 6-1. Floor of Bermuda, 13-2. Wise Approach, 12s. 14s about Witness Stand. Volterra, 16s. And Mayal is 25-1. Harry, I'll come to you first. It's an interesting race, this. I was quite keen on having a go with the Admirable Kirat again over a straight 7 furlongs. He won the Criterion and he ran a great race in the Celebration, beaten by what looks like quite a nice horse in Zavateri now. What did you make of this? Is More Thunder worth taking on in this race?
Yeah, I thought this was one of the more difficult races to actually assess. I think the one that you can call the wrong price is Never So Brave. I don't know how he deserves to be second favourite based on what he's done this year. And in fact, like, Kirat beat him, didn't he? So there's no real reason why Never So Brave should be this short. The one worry I have with More Thunder is that he's actually really looked like he needed a mile for the first time this year. Like, he's only really getting going late and he's not quite getting there. Dropping back to 7, he is going to get pace to aim at with the likes of Kirat and Witness Stand, Mayal. They all like to go forward. But I don't know. I think at the prices, I just couldn't take 6-5 about a horse that I know how he's going to be ridden and be waiting on your money coming really, really fast and late. I'm going to give another chance to Flora of Bermuda, just in the hope that she sits behind the leaders and she can use her turn of foot and just get first run in More Thunder. She proved that she stayed 7 furlongs well at Glorious Gilbert. Obviously, we had the whole blindfold situation last time at York, and I think that sort of lit her up, and I don't think she quite saw it out as well. So back down in class, she's obviously got an pretty awful Group 1 record, but dropping back down to Group 2, this isn't the strongest race. I think I'd be with Flora of Bermuda again.
Okay, Flora of Bermuda for Harry Wilson. Yeah, it is an interesting race. Ed Nixon, there was plenty of nodding going on from you. That was probably just due to the fact that Harry's given a great assessment of the race as a whole. What did you make of this race?
No, I agree with Harry. I've gone for Flora of Bermuda. I think the setup of the race will suit. Again, I mean, she's come second, she's come third twice in two Group Ones only last year. So she's not done that badly. And, I think, she, there's definitely some issues at the stalls. I noted that, the trainer says they don't want to go abroad, because they might not get the dispensations they get here. So she's obviously tricky going into the stalls. And we saw that last time, didn't we? Slightly. But she's won 3 times this year. She's already won the Oak Tree Stakes. And interestingly enough, it is a step up to 7, third time at 7. But I spoke to someone high up in the stable before she ran at York, which she didn't win. But they said they think the 7 furlongs would be the making of her, which is just funny because she'd been running over 6 all her career. But they thought 7 furlongs would be fine. The going for her is fine. She's won on good to firm, I think, hasn't she? But she's also won on soft and good to soft. I think she's one of those mares, like a lot of mares, if she's in the A1 groove, I think she'll go close, but then she might just spit the dummy out. But they, once the chance had gone last time, I watched the race this morning, and but the jockey wasn't over hard on her. I mean, she didn't have a hard race in the Group 1, which is sometimes what leaves their mark for the next race. And this is a step down in grade. We've spoken about that last few weeks. The horse is stepping down. It's a big difference from top Group 1 to Group 2. And this is a Group 2 race. I think she's got a really good chance. So, yeah, she'll be my selection. Super boost on this race. So every horse will be the next price up from the first show.
Okay, there you go. Super boost on this race with Unibet. Do check that out. Jimmy Hill, you have 2 selections for Flora of Bermuda. How have you looked at this race?
Wins this, doesn't he? Understand Flora Bermuda's looked a better horse over 7 furlongs, but she's still got a fair bit to find with the favourite. I mean, he's £5 clear on the ratings. The other thing is, I mean, a lot of these rivals, they're not in great form at the moment. I mean, as Harry mentioned, Never Say Brave's had a very disappointing season for a Group 1 winner. More Thunder, I know he's been racing over a mile, but he's been running really well this term over that distance and produced a career best last season when he won the Hungerford Stakes over 7 furlongs. So I don't think the trip's a problem. I mean, it's not rocket science how to beat him because he's a strong traveller who needs to be held up. But there's too much pace in this race, I think, for it to turn into a dawdle. And seven furlongs at Doncaster, I think that should be ideal for this horse. So, yeah, not interested in the price, but hard to see him getting beat.
Okay, Jimmy thinks the More Thunder will be hard to beat on Saturday. We move on to the big classic. The 3:35 of Doncaster is the Betfred St. Ledger Stakes. Group 1, mile 6.5 furlongs here for the three-year-olds. And currently, Unibet have Enceladus as the favourite, 2-1 currently. Christmas Day is 5-2. Pierre Bonnard's 3-1. Highwayman 11-1. Hartine's 14-1. Older Man 25-1. Galleon 33s. Amelia Earhart also 33s. Golden Stories 40s. Action is 50s. And Rebel Rocker is the outside of the lot at 80-1. Jimmy, we're going to you first here. First of all, is this as bad a ledger as everyone seems to be discussing it might be? And also, who's going to win it?
It's not a great ledger, I'd say, in terms of the history of the race. And think of all the great horses that have run in it. I was thinking that, actually. I mean, you go back 30 years, for a horse to win a Derby and a St. Ledger, I mean, that would be an extraordinary feat. You had a lot of horses over the decades who've tried and failed to do that. I mean, even Shergar couldn't manage it, for goodness sake. But here we have a horse in Christmas Day who I think has got a real chance of doing this classic double. I mean, he was only rated 91 less than a year ago, so it's hard to believe. But he's, I think, the right sort of horse for the St. Ledger. He's a proper grinder. That's what won him the Derby. And he's had a great season. I think he's been well campaigned by Aidan O'Brien. I thought that was a good race he ran in last time, actually, in the Great Vulture, yeah. Behind Maltese Cross. I think he'll probably come on for that. And he's staying on towards the end. So I think this test is going to suit him. I'm not convinced Enceladus is quite as good as some people think he is. And the other thing that's in Christmas Day's favour, it looks like the forecast has turned a bit and there is going to be a bit of rain on Saturday. So that will play to his strengths too. So I'm going to side with him over Enceladus.
Yep, I'm actually in agreement. I think that his Derby's been slated far too much. I actually think he's better than everyone thinks he might be. I thought he was excellent second in the Irish Derby. I thought I just showed that he was actually quite a good horse. Harry, I'm going to ask a bit of a pointless question in some ways here, and I'll probably get slated down in the comments, but had Maltese Cross had turned up in this race, what price would he have been against this kind of field?
Well, you'd definitely be looking at him being favourite for this race.
How short?
Well, he's given Pierre Bernard £5 a two length beating, and he Christmas Day quite far behind. I still think the market would speak in favour of Enceladus. Wow. I do think that he would be like second favourite for this race, even if Maltese Cross was in there. I think you'd probably be looking at like 6-4, maybe.
Okay.
Enceladus a bit bigger, maybe 11-4. But yeah, I actually think Maltese Cross has got a fantastic chance of winning the Arc if it doesn't turn up bottomless. So I'd definitely be looking at the Vulture for the form. I can see the case for Christmas Day. I think it's blaringly obvious that he's got a massive chance. I did think the jockey bookings were very, very interesting, that Wayne Lawdon's on Pierre Bonnard and Ronan Whelan's riding Christmas Day. Obviously, we'd assume that Wayne Lawdon's got the option to ride either, and the fact that he's not riding a Derby winner in the Ledger. I think it confirmed to me what I've always thought of Pierre Bonnard, that he was building to a really big effort. I think trainers don't do themselves justice what it takes to get a big horse like him fit and well and absolutely firing, because he's huge. And I really liked his run in the Irish Derby. And he bounced back. I think he was challenging on the wrong part of the track at York against Maltese Cross. I don't think that rail is where you want it to be. I think we found that out with Ombudsman and Constitution River as well in the Judmont that day. So I'm willing to give Pierre Bonnard one more chance because I think this is going to suit him perfectly.
Okay. Pierre Bonnard then for Harry Wilson, but the Vulture to form the way to look at this race. Mention of jockey bookings there, Ed. It's interesting because the last couple of years, unconventional kind of Ballydore jockeys of well, not even Ballydore jockeys. Tom McCann won it last year for Aidan O'Brien. Sean Levy won it the year before, and then Ryan obviously won the year prior to that. But what would you make of the jockey bookings here? And do you think if Wayne Lorden is the number one jockey pick, he's on the right one?
Not too sure, to be honest. Harry would probably have a better idea than me, but it looks as if, you know, Wayne Lorden would be on the pick of them, but you just don't know. I mean, you know, we've seen so many. When there's a big meeting elsewhere, which there is in Leopardstown, and there's a big meeting at St. Ledger. Gone are the days when they used to get a helicopter riding both the champion, Irish champion, and the St. Ledger. I used to love watching that. They can only choose. So, yeah, maybe the horse, maybe the jockey knows the horse very well. Maybe he rides at work. You don't know, do you, until someone tells you. But I think if you're being sensible and looking at it, yeah, you would take that into consideration. But I'm not going to be sensible. And I just can't understand why Christmas Day is my favourite. I mean, Enchiladas was running at a handicap 2 runs ago. Good a horse he is, winning a Group 3 last time, didn't he, at Goodwood, both on good to firm, has got form on soft ground, but in a much, much lower company. And Christmas Day, as Jimmy said, won a Derby in softish conditions and won it well, and has run well since. And that performance at York was every bit a St. Ledger trial. In fact, I've had a look at the history book. Since 1997, 7 horses have been beaten in the Voltigeur and then come on and won the St. Ledger. Silver Patriarch, Mutafwaf, Bolin Eric, Brian Baru, Mastery, NEK, and Kew Gardens all got beaten. 3 of them were carrying penalties. And this horse carried a Group 1 penalty and came 3rd. He's got, £5.25 length turnaround with the 2nd. Everything, I think, points to Christmas Day should be favourite, in my opinion. The fact he isn't, that might be a concern that you should sit up and take notice, but because he was well supported, obviously, in the Derby before he won. But I thought Christmas Day would become... there aren't that many horses that tried. Jimmy said about Derby and St. Ledger. Well, I can only find 4 since 1980, since 1981, sorry, when Shergard did come 4th. Reference Point won it in 87, the Derby, St. Ledger. Camelot famously came 2nd when trying for the Triple Crown in 2012. And then Lambourne, who incidentally I think is running as a pacemaker in the Irish Champion Stakes, what happened in those 12 months, came 4th to Scandinavia in 2025. So not many Derby winners try and win a St. Ledger. So it'll be a hell of an achievement, whatever the quality of the race, if Christmas Day wins. First one coming back in 1800 when a horse called Champion did it, but not many have tried. And I'd love the race to be won well by Christmas Day, but I can't believe he's not even a favourite. So Christmas Day will be my selection. We're super boosting this race 15 minutes before the off.
Okay, well, I'll have a super boost here with Unibet then for Christmas Day. Myself, Jimmy Hill and Ed all siding with this horse. Harry siding with the other Ballydore runner in Pierre Bonnard, but the Voltage of Form, the way to go. And maybe a sneak little tease into a pick for the Ark as well from Harry with Maltese Cross. So we'll just wait and see. That will only be a couple of weeks away. There is one more race at Doncaster that is on the ITV card, which is the Potemps Network Handicap at 4:15. It's a Class 2 event. Now, this is tough. Bullet Point is the 5-1 favourite. Moonfall, 11-2. Blue Corvazier, 6-1. Mezcala, 15-2. Scoville's, 8-1. Fifth Column is 11-1 along with Inspired. 12-1 about Check and Challenge and River King, 16-1 the rest of the field. Harry Wilson, I know you're quite sweet on one in this, so you can kick it off.
Yeah, an old friend in some regards, Mezcala, is a horse that I've been following for a while, and I backed him in the Spring Mile at the start, which is over this course and distance, and he won that so easily. And I thought that he might get away with the drop to 7 at Royal Ascot. And I think the pace and the way that those races play out played into his hands to win the Buckingham Palace. And that was a fine effort and probably one that means that he's still well handicapped. I don't think people realise how difficult it is to win those Royal Ascot handicaps. You can forgive him last time out. That was one of those Ascot races that I think it's really difficult to explain how they're run, but they're just not run properly. The runners end up all over the track. There's no real pace to aim at. There's no real cover, and you do often get weird results. Although amazing journey winning that race, obviously, is a quality animal. I think stepping back up to a mile is really going to suit, and any cut in the ground will help him even more. So yeah, I'm going to be backing Mezcala to bounce back to form.
Yeah, quite like the idea of this, and I'm keen on Mezcala. This Shannon double potentially at the weekend coming off in the handicaps. We'll wait and see. Jimmy Hill, where did you go with this race?
Well, I was keen to side one of the three-year-olds here. I mean, they've won 7 of the last 9 running. So initially I was going to go with Moonfall. But having seen the weather forecast, I mean, it's changed. There's now a bit of rain tonight, Thursday night, and Saturday morning as well. Could be quite a bit of rain. So that would not suit Moonfall. So instead I've opted for Inspired, who's one of the form horses in the race. He's won his last 2. Won at Goodwood a couple of weeks ago, and then under a £5 penalty, won at York on Sunday. He's able to race off that same mark here, and he looks to be progressive. So interesting that Carl Burke's sending him out again. I mean, it is a step up in class for the selection, but as I said, I don't think that there were that many in form here, and I'm keen at this time of the effort to look for horses in form, and I thought he was definitely one of them.
Okay, Inspired could potentially land the hat-trick then in that mile handicap on Saturday. I had my eye, and I'm going to have my eye on potentially for this race and the Balmoral on Check and Challenge. He might be 7, but I've got a feeling he's going to turn up in one of these big handicaps soon off his current mark. He's certainly there to win at one stage. How did you look at this, Ed Nicholson?
Yeah, there's extra place in this race, competitive-looking handicap, but I really fancy one. I think this horse is a step ahead of the handicapper, and that's number 8, Blue Covizier, who, like Jimmy said, I like to go with form at this time of year, form on softish ground, if the ground continues to be softish. And first time this horse ran on good to soft or any soft was last time out at York when making all in a competitive handicap. That's not easy to do at places like York in an Ebor meeting, whatever the race, and did really well. With Ross Orion on board. I remember this horse because I was at Bath when he ran in a 4-runner novice against Item. And there was not much between them in the early skirmishes in the betting ring, but then Item went ahead and obviously has progressed to be the Group 1 performer that we know now. But Blue Covizier did look for much of that race as it was 2-year-old days. Looked up to winning a decent race, but his age is coming to real form now. Has won a couple of handicaps. Interestingly, he's in the Cambridgeshire. He's 27th in the list, but he's only £7 below the top weight. And I just thought that having shown real good attitude, ears pricked most of the way, when Rosser asked him to quicken, he did quicken, and he was going away at the end. So I think he's a step ahead of the handicapper. I'm hoping that the softer ground was one of the reasons why he did improve, and I'm hoping it remains soft for this horse's chance. And I think he'll win this, and I wouldn't put off anyone having a look at him for the Cambridgeshire before this race, of which he's 20-1. Maduke, Nonny Maduke's dad owns this horse. Oh. Yeah, along with another person. And I when I was at Chepstow, he had a horse running, and I saw his name Maduke in the. And I had to go up and say, you know, please come to the stage, you know, congratulations. And I said, oh, there's a footballer named Maduke. And he went, oh, is there? That's really funny. Didn't tell me. Didn't want anyone to know that his son was. No. So then they all laughed their head off when I made a complete idiot of myself. But, yeah, he obviously loves his racing, and he's got a good horse here, along with another owner. But this horse is, I think, a decent handicapper.
Blue Covizier, yeah, really interesting. It's a real competitive handicap, that 4.15 at Doncaster, but there are extra places available with Unibets. So that's our selections at Doncaster. Do let us know, like I say, down in the comments, any of your best bets for the weekend. Do subscribe if you haven't already. We're going to get into Chester and a little bit of Ireland shortly after this brand new advert from Unibet.
Ready to up the ante on race day? With Unibet's Racing Bet Builder, you can back multiple horses in the same race, all in one bet. Think Bet Builder, but for racing. Say you've backed Constitution Hill to win, Lossiemouth to finish in the top 2, and Stateman to place in the top 4.
With Unibet's Racing Bet Builder, you can stack the odds in your favour.
Covering multiple outcomes in the same race gives you more ways to win and potential bigger returns than a single bet.
Racing Bet Builder adds more excitement to race day.
Welcome back to part 2 of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Jimmy Hill, Harry Wilson and Unibet's Ed Nixon spinning you through the ITV action this weekend. Ed, a brilliant new advert there from Unibet. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, Racing Bet Builder is where you can have, you know, more than one selection and a race horse to win, a horse to be placed. Do go and have a look at it. We have changed the name of it. That's why it's brand new. It was called Same Race Multi, but we've changed the title to Racing Bet Builder. Just think of Bet Builder with football, exactly the same, but for racing. So if you have a view about a race, you can make more money by choosing not just horse to win, but a horse to be placed as well, and other things, folks. So go and have a look at the Racing Bet Builder on Unibet.
Yeah, I know plenty of people who use those bet builders on racing. They're certainly worth doing so if you have some strong opinions with regards to a race. Right, there are three more races that we are going to look at on the ITV card. I think Harry Wilson and Ed Nixon will give a spin through some Leopardstown action on ITV. But we go to Chester for the 130 next, which is the Stand Cup Stakes, a listed contest over a mile, 4.5 furlongs there. And Unibet now have Dubai Honor as the 5-4 on favourite for this race for the William Haggishar Kieran Fannin on board. Plage de Havre is 130. Too Soon is 6-1. 15-2 about Grey Cuban. Master Vinter 16-1. And Uluru is 28-1. Ed, I'm just going to come to you and not spoiler alert it, but I'm going to say you were keen to potentially nap this horse, but the price is now completely crashed with regards to Dubai Honor. What made you think he was just going to go and win this?
Well, I mean, first of all, the price looked too good, and it probably was. So 5-6 is the right price. But this horse is just different gear to the rest in the contest. Has come second in a couple of Australian Group 1s. He's won £3.1 million, which is a great piece of placing by trainer William Haggis, because if you look at his rating, you wouldn't have thought a horse rated that would win £3.1 million. He's 8 years old. He's had he's won 8 times on turf. He's come second at Chester. He's yet to win on good to soft to soft, but he has come second in a couple of top class races, as we say, in abroad. And he came third in the Geoffrey Freer not long ago. That'll put him just absolutely spot on. And William Haggis is a standout trainer with these sort of horses. Hamish won this race for him last year. He's won it several times before. He's won it with Harris Tweed in 2010. And his only other runner, actually, he's had 3 runs at this. Hamish won it last year. Harris Tweed came and won it. And La Yakel in 24 came third. So he's a racy target. He's obviously got plenty of these types of horses. And I just couldn't see this Dubai Honor losing this race, even on the softer ground conditions. And even though a couple of trainers who do well, notably Balding and Beckett, have horses running in this race. Blue Stocking won this, came second in this race for Rafe Beckett, and then the year later won the Arc. So, you know, got to probably pay attention to the horses that he runs in this race. He's got Master Vintner, but on form, can't beat Dubai Honor.
There you go. Yeah, it's a real interesting contest, Harry. Dubai Honor now short enough. What did you make of this?
Yeah, I think I was on the show when Dubai Honor made his reappearance at Newbury. I was quite keen to take him on then. And I don't know, I'm just like, there is no debate that he is the best horse in this race on what he's done. I just felt like he should have won last time. If he was still the Dubai Honor that was winning those Group 1s, and I think he should have won last time. So I backed 2 against him earlier in the week, and I'm hoping that the rain, if their forecast at Chester, means that we get the best out of Plage de Havre, who I can't believe they hadn't run on soft ground until York last time, where he won a really competitive handicap. He's by Le Havre out of a Lope de Vega mare, both massive soft ground influences. And he's one of them, I think, in the race, who could have loads more improvements come on a surface that's not good, on a bit of a softer surface. So my main fancy would be Plage de Havre for Andrew Balding. The other one I backed was Too Soon. Very similar profile. 2 from 2 since the cheap pieces went on and since Warren Fentiman has ridden him. I'm not convinced that he's going to be good enough to win this race, but I thought he'd outrun his odds early in the week. But the main fancy is Plage de Havre. The main worry for me with Dubai Honor is not just his age, but he hasn't actually run left-handed many times. If you actually look through his record, a lot of his runs are right-handed. And the only time that he's really run left hand, he won a really weak Southall race where he should have won by like 20 lengths on ratings by about a length. So I don't know, there are slight worries with me regarding Dubai Honor, and Plage d'Havre would be the one that I'd back at the prices.
Okay, potentially taking on Dubai Honor with Plage d'Havre is Harry Wilson. Jimmy, what did you make of this? Did you make it between the top two?
I just think Dubai Honor is different class from the rest, Sam. I mean, look, he's an 8-year-old. He hasn't won a turf race in Britain since 2021. And good point that Harry made there about, you know, maybe him not going that well left-handed. But I just find it difficult to see what can beat him here. He's £11 clear on the ratings. He will need to improve on his run at Newbury in the Geoffrey Freer. But I mean, that was his first start since April. So I think we can expect some improvement from that. Yeah, I mean, he's a tremendous globetrotter for William Haggis, isn't he? He's been brilliant overseas. And he's just got, I think, too much ability for these. I mean, the rivals he's facing are really a bunch of handicappers. So unless it absolutely belts it down to like heavy ground or something, I think his class will just come through.
Okay, yeah, it is an interesting one, but quite a tentative selection, I think, from everyone in this race here. But Dubai Honor, the one for Jimmy Hill. The 205 at Chester is the Watergate Cup. This is 2 miles here, a Class 2 event, and this has been won by Spirit Mixer the last 2 years, and this horse is going to line up once again. Not the favourite currently, though. Cranachan's 3-1 favourite, Spirit Mixer, is 9-2 with £7 claim, Alfie Redman on board. Holy Sea and Granite Boy, 11-2. Stress Free's 9-1. Dancing in Paris is 11-1, 12-1 and bigger. About the rest of the field here, I was talking to you, Harry, outside in the office with regards to Spirit Mixer, saying I'm sure he's won this race a few times. And it turns out he has. He's won the last two renewals. Will the horse go and do it again?
Well, he's certainly got a good chance. Course and distance form at Chester is a big plus. His claim is taking £7 off as well. Bit of a negative with a wide draw, but yeah. You know, staying race is not a massive disadvantage. But I decided I was going to take him on earlier in the week, and nothing's made me change my mind, and I'm still with Cranachan, who also has course and distance form. Absolutely bolted up over the course and distance last time. That was his first go at 2 mile and his first go on ground that was a bit slower than good. He's been a lot better since the blinkers went on. I think he's got loads of improvements to come at this trip on this sort of ground. And I wouldn't worry that Hector Crouch isn't riding. I don't think he can get down to 8 stone 4. He was jocked up earlier in the week, but I think because the top weight's still his ground, that Nicola Curry's been booked and she's a fantastic jockey. So I'm hoping she'll get the job done on Saturday.
Yeah, she is top class. She is Nicola Curry. 3-1 favourite currently, Cranachan for Harry. Jimmy Hill, what did you make of the Watergate Cup?
Yeah, very much agree with Harry's opinion on this one. I was keen to go with Cranachan at the start of the week, and I'm glad to see he's got a nice draw in stall three as well. I mean, he's stepping up in class and up £9 for his win over course and distance last time, but I'm really keen to go with 3-year-olds in these handicaps at this time of year. I mean, he's getting as much as £10 from his elders. I think that's a lot, you know, because these 3-year-olds, they're pretty much fully matured now. And this one's really progressive since they put the blinkers on him. As Harry mentioned, I mean, he bolted up at Chester last time. Him and a 3-year-old beat some older horses cold that day. So I think he's the most interesting run in the race. Spirit Mixer with his claimer on board definitely got a chance and could be the one to beat. But Cranachan for me, I think it's definitely got the most improvement in him.
Okay, 2 votes for Cranachan. I don't think we've had a horse yet who's landed a hat-trick this week, and Ed Nicholson's probably going to spoil the fun here with this horse here. Did you like Cranachan, Ed, or are you with someone else?
Not only am I not choosing Cranachan, I think he's one of the lays of the day.
Oh, Harry shrugged it off.
I was at Chester last time he ran, and he won by 6 lengths going away. He's only had 4 runs on turf, so everything that everyone said is true. He's an improving 3-year-old who has probably not reached his heights. But Hector Crouch asked him to quicken off the turn, and he kept on asking him, and it wasn't as if he's won hard held. And that race was not a good race. The horse in second's yet to win a race. The horse that finished seventh pulled up in a handicap chase at Sedgefield yesterday. And it's a class four. This is a class two. There are horses here that have been running in really good class handicaps for many years, or certainly for last year. I think, obviously got the weight and the pull against those horses and the potential, but I just thought of 3-1. It was probably quite, it was too short a price for me. Yeah, has got a chance, obviously got a chance, but I thought of 3-1. It was too big a price. Spirit Mixer, I don't particularly like, did like it, but he's lost his form. He's competed against 35 horses in his last three races and 33 have finished ahead of him. He's not the horse he was. They were going to retire him last year. They will retire him this year. And if you go further down, there's a horse here who's in form. And I think I don't think it was Harry. Maybe it was Graham. But he mentioned that Dancing in Paris, when he hits form, he stays in form for a couple of runs, which I thought was really interesting. I look back at it and it is true. When he does hit form, he stays in form. And Ian Williams loves a winner at Chester. He's got the excellent Kieran Fallon on board. The draw is a little bit of a worry, but it is over 2 miles. And one last time out on different ground, good to firm, Shergold Cup stayers, but has got form on softer ground. Has only been put up a few pounds, maybe three, if memory serves, to a handicap mark of 93. And that race at Ascot, if you have a chance to go and look at the replay, was always, in my mind, was always going to win. Pulled a little hard. And then the jockey was looking to try and make a move inside the final two. Had a look round, and then although didn't win by that much, I thought that was a really good performance and best performance of the season from Dancing in Paris. So once again, as Jimmy has alluded to, I like to go for a horse in form at this stage of year, who has got a bit of form in you know, good to soft ground, a bit of juice. And Dancing in Paris is that selection. So I ran about 12-1. I thought he was probably an each-way selection, a bit like Polestar was last week, who managed to get third. May not necessarily win, but 12-1, it gets placed, you still make a bit of money. So, yeah, that's my selection. And I should say this is money back second or third with Unibet. So it's our flagship opera race. So if you do fancy something, it does come second or third, you'll get your money back. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, yeah, money back second or third. Jimmy Hill and Harry Wilson keen on the favourite. Ed wanting to lay it. There you go. That's the game we're in. There are opinions. There are certainly strong opinions. There is one more race to look at on ITV. I'm only going to come here to probably Harry and Ed on this race here quickly, but the 3:55 at Leopardstown is the Matron Stakes. Which is a really strong looking race, where Blue Bolt's the 5-4 favourite. Precise is 2-1. True Love's 15-2. Fallen Angel 8-1. City of Memphis is 10-1. Looking at much bigger about the other four in this race. Ed, it was added really late to the ITV card. It wasn't even on our running order originally. But yeah, ITV have now got this race. Blue Bolt has just looked exceptional this season. I think she'll take some beating, will she?
Yeah, third instalment of their rivalry between Blue Bolt and Precise. It is the trilogy start, isn't it? And Blue Bolt has beaten Precisely two times, and I think he'll do it. She'll do it. Sorry, three on over the weekend. I think Blue Bolt is an improving filly. You look at her last eight races. I think she's improved every single run to come from a rating of 98, an open class rating of 98. Didn't run in a handicap all the way through to 119. I think she is maybe. So yeah, she's improving. She's got the call on Precise. I think they're the only two possible winners of the race. So Blue Bolt, I think, will take a lot of beating. I don't know what price we're going at the moment, Sam, but 6-4 would, you know, 5-4 would look okay for me.
Yeah, 5-4 currently with Unibet. Yeah, looks fair enough. Harry, you had a brief look before we came on air at this. Is it between the top two? And if so, is Blue Bolt going to go do it again?
Yeah, it's definitely a cracking race. I can't remember many contests where you got a multiple group one winner, only fourth in the betting. It was also won this race last year. But I suppose that is the sort of level that Fallen Angel has shown this year. She was a bit disappointing on both her starts this season. Yeah, I agree with Ed. I think Blue Bolt, it may look like that Precise got closer to Blue Bolt in Deauville last time, but if you actually watch that race, they ran it so slowly. Precise was sat in second, Blue Bolt was further back, and she still got up to beat her. I can't see her reversing that form, and I think Blue Bolt is a bit special. I think I've said that on the podcast before, and I really think that she'll just go and get the job done.
Okay. Do we know, I don't know how you might know or you might not, but do we know if the plan is to go from here to the QE2 or not?
Well, last year she went to the Sun Chariot, didn't she?
Yeah.
And took on Fallen Angel. That could possibly be the route. I don't think they'd be ruling out a trip to the Breeders' Cup. She handles good to firm ground really well. And the way that she travels and finds, I think she could be well suited to that sort of race. But I'd probably say if it was me, I'd probably head to the Sun Chariot again. Yeah. The race that she ran in last year against Fallen Angel was such a ridiculous time. They went so quick. And she's a better horse this year, so I'd love to see what she could do.
Okay, yeah, she's really exciting. Looks like she's come really into her own properly this year. The reason I didn't come to you, Jimmy, is because there is so much action on ITV this weekend and across, you know, all the other channels with Group 1s, Group 2s all over the show. So more action in Ireland. I just wanted to come to you for anything else that you're excited to see this weekend.
Just the Irish Champion Stakes on Saturday, Sam. Very interesting market. It's been interesting all week, I think. I still think 6-4 about Constitution River's too short a price. Don't understand, given that he was soundly beaten at York, why he's such a strong favourite. I mean, I get Aidan O'Brien is king in this race. He's won it so many times, but doesn't mean other yards can't win it. British yards have won 3 of the last 9 runnings. And both Item and Alma Cam, I don't see any reason why they can't back up the form. From the judgment last month. And I think Al McCann can easily turn it around with Item. I mean, there's quite a bit between them and the market, and Item only beat him ahead at York. Item's a York specialist. This is half a furlong shorter. I think Al McCann's got a great chance. Rain is forecast. That will suit him. I think this is the ideal race. And don't forget, he won a Group 1 in Ireland earlier in the season, and I think he's got a good chance again. So, yeah, Al McCann for me.
Okay, yeah, I've backed Al McCam Antipodes for the British Champion Stakes, not for this one. But yeah, maybe the horse could do both. Let's just wait and see. Ed, what was your opinion on it?
I like Jimmy's theory. The prices, obviously, Al McCam, it does look interesting given the market position of Item. But I'm going to probably just watch this race, not have a bet in it. Al McCam, it possibly is the bet, to be honest. But I'll be watching it with Constitution River in mind. And I'll tell you what, who else will be in my mind? Graham Rodway will be on my shoulder and in my mind, because he needs this horse to put up a performance.
He does.
If he's going to be the greatest horse that Aidan O'Brien has ever trained, which he has said a few times. And, you know, I do like people that put their heads on the chopping block. So I really hope that he does run well and puts in a good time figure, because that's the only way he's going to do it in the next few years. He's probably got 3 runs and he left maybe 2. Mm-hmm. So he's got to do it for Graham.
Yeah, let's hope so. We'll just wait and see what happens. But yeah, that clip it went viral enough, that one. But hopefully he can do it for Mr. Rodway. Right, gents, let's get the best bets for the weekend then. Who are the best bets on the ITV card for Saturday? I'll actually kick things off. I think Christmas Day is going to come in September in the St. Ledger. I think that this horse is his Derby run has been slated far too much. I actually think he's a really classy horse. I think the step up is certainly going to suit this horse. And I think the round about the 5-2 mark is fairly fair about Christmas Day in the Ledger. Harry Wilson, your best bet, please.
Yeah, my best bet's going to come in the 4:15 at Donny, and that's Mez Carla. Really comfortable winner of the spring mile in his reappearance over this course and distance. And I think stepping back up to a mile and getting away from as quick a ground as he's been running on will be, suit him down to the ground.
Okay, yeah, Mez Carla in the 4:15 at Doncaster Ferry. Wilson, Jimmy Hill, your nap, please.
Apollo 1 in the Portland, 2:20 Doncaster. Been second so many times in these big sprint handicaps. I think this is finally his moment, Sam. Apollo 1.
Okay, Apollo 1 for Jimmy Hill. Extra places with Unibet in that race there. And Ed Nixon, the final selection, comes at Chester.
Well, I'll be dancing in Chester if Dancing in Paris wins this weekend. The Watergate Cup, the 2:05 at Chester. Came back to form last time with a bang at Ascot. I like Ian Williams' horse at Chester, and this one really looks an interesting sort at a big price, around about 12-1 at time of recording.
There you go. So there are our best bets. You can see them all on screen now. Do take a screenshot. Hopefully we can land plenty of winners this weekend. And that's it for this week's Racing Postcast. Big thanks to Jimmy Hill, Harry Wilson, and as always, Ed Nixon for this week's show. I'm actually off again next week. Callum Helliwell is going to be taking my place. I'm getting too much holiday in this place at the moment, but Callum Helliwell will be taking my seat next week, where I think the feature is the Mill Reef. So it'll be at Newbury next week. Looking forward to hearing the guys' thoughts whilst I'm watching rather than hosting this show. But big thanks to the guys. Big thanks to you for watching and listening. Do remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. And as always, do gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next week.